If house hacking is a way you can significantly reduce your housing expense or even eliminate it completely, why aren't more people doing it? Well, I don't want to live near tenants. I need my privacy. I don't want a small space, yada, yada, yada. Those are all of the limiting beliefs that we hear all the time. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about how to overcome those limiting beliefs and get you on track to achieve financial freedom. Welcome back to the Happy House Hacking Podcast, the podcast designed to help you navigate the path toward happy home ownership. We're your hosts, Owen and Camille Schwagerly. We are realtors, investors, and happy house hackers. We're here to help educate and empower you on all things related to home ownership. Today, we are going to talk about limiting beliefs. We talked a little bit about it last episode and what your limiting beliefs are as far as home ownership goes. And today, we're going to talk about overcoming limiting beliefs in regards to house hacking.
So one thing we often hear is, oh, that sounds like a great strategy, but that's just not for me. I don't want to do that. I couldn't do that. I can't live with tenants. I can't live right next to somebody else. That just, it's not for me. I wouldn't do it. And so when we hear that, that's automatically someone just shutting down an idea that has been proven to work and has helped people overcoming that very difficult to achieve barrier of home ownership. So let's unpack that. I can't live with tenants. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, in your current setup, do you have neighbors? Yes, you probably do. You probably do have neighbors at some stage of your life. Now, what if you imagined those neighbors were helping you pay for your living expense and be able to live in your desired area? That's essentially the same concept as house hacking, except maybe you are sharing a wall and maybe you've lived in an apartment before where you have shared a wall with other people in the past. All you do is just set up boundaries, right? Don't let your tenant come knock on your door and say, hey, I have a problem. Can you come help me? Or, hey, here's my rent check. Here you go. You just set up boundaries in place so that way it feels as if you are farther away than you actually are. And believe me, sharing a wall is no big deal. If you're really worried about sound, if you have a music room or something, put up some insulation. But otherwise, it really is just a limiting belief. If you want to make this happen, then you will find what it takes to make this happen.
Exactly. Yeah, I like how you said establish those boundaries. Yeah. And people will follow the process that you put in place. And so instead of having them come to you direct, you say, hey, actually, no, if there's any maintenance requests, for example, the proper procedure is to put in a maintenance request on the portal for your property management software, or to email you at your property management email that you create, or to text you on your line that's for your business and for handling all of the maintenance requests that come in. So that way you can differentiate your work versus your family and have those two things set up properly to protect your time in those places.
Yep, exactly. And one of the next biggest limiting beliefs that we hear often is, well, I need my privacy. I can't be in a small space. I don't want people to know that I'm here and that I'm the landlord. And it's like, okay, well, great. You don't need to tell anybody that you own the property. You're simply the on-site property manager, which is very true. So if you are concerned about your privacy, once again, it goes back to establishing the processes that you want other people to replicate and follow. So what are those boundaries? Maybe you set up a little backyard oasis and you put some fences up, and that way it's very separate and you don't have to share a backyard with your tenants. Whatever that looks like for you, you can make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And it comes back to that sliding scale of comfort versus profit. Where do you want to be on that sliding scale? And you have to ask yourself, am I willing to delay my financial freedom and independence by staying in a situation or in a property that gives me all the privacy I want, but doesn't set me up financially for my future? You have to weigh that pro and con and decide, where do you want to be on your financial journey? Because if house hacking is an accelerant that can help you achieve financial freedom and retire earlier because you've created multiple streams of passive income through rental property, then why would you want to postpone that? the sooner you can get into a property where you have some sort of income to help you pay the mortgage or get to a point where it pays all your mortgage, the better.
Exactly. I totally agree with you 100%. And all it takes is just that commitment and that dedication to make it happen.
And then is it a want or is it a need? You say, I need my privacy. Is that a want or is that a need? Most people, they think of things as an actual need, but in reality, it's a want. You'll find out that you can live on less space. You can live next to your tenant. You can share a wall. I mean, when you're in an apartment, you're sharing walls all the time. And so you have to get to that point where you realize, okay, maybe this isn't necessarily a need. Maybe it is more of a want. And at the end of the day, it's not a forever thing. It's okay, 1 year commitment, live in this property per the loan requirement, and then you can move out.
One thing to keep in mind is that when you're moving to a new house, you can't pick your neighbors, but you can pick your tenants if you're the landlord. So start off by picking the right tenants who meet your minimum standard requirements, who are nice people, who are going to respect the boundaries you have in place. And that just completely eliminates any issue that you're going to have is if you get to hand pick the tenants that are sharing walls next to you.
Mm-hmm. Then limiting belief number three is, oh, I don't want to be a landlord. Oh no, it's just too much work. It's going to be too much stress, too much on my plate. I'm already working. I'm already raising a family. I couldn't be a landlord. There's just no way. That's also a limiting belief because being a landlord takes significantly less time than you would think. Especially using today's technology, there's free property management software out there where you can set up everything online and rents can come in online and direct deposit into your bank account. And that eliminates one of the probably biggest time hassles that was kind of in years past, the way things were done. The tenant would mail a check. You have to go to the mailbox, pick it up, put it in the bank. By eliminating that, you've eliminated so much work. Like 50 to 75% of the work in property management has been eliminated just by setting up automatic payments for your property.
Right. And other people say, well, you know, I'm not very handy. I won't be able to make repairs. Okay, great. You don't have to. Find someone who's good at that. Find a handyman. Call him up when it's time to fix the plumbing line. You don't have to do any of that. So that's what's great is as a landlord, you end up becoming the messenger, right? It's your job to be in communication with your tenant and the professional that you've hired to make those necessary repairs. You are not required to go to school, get some type of certificate in being a landlord. All you need to do is just have connections to the right people to get the job done.
Limiting belief number four. I just don't know how to be a landlord. I don't know how to sign a lease, collect rent, evict people. It's too scary. It's too overwhelming. I don't want to do it. So therefore, house hacking is not the strategy for me. What is that limiting belief?
Well, it really just comes down to a lack of knowledge and education. So if you're unsure how to sign a lease, well, then it's time to start reading books. Go to your local library. Or if you have an e-reader, you don't even need to go to your library. You can just download from your e-reader app and get the content you want. We read Brandon Turner's book about property management and lease agreements, and that was really helpful for us. So if you're feeling uncertain about how to go about signing a lease, then all you need to do is just watch some YouTube videos, read some books, and start getting educated and empowered to use a lease agreement.
Absolutely. There are people who have gone on this trail before you. So find those people. Maybe you go to a local real estate investor meetup group and you talk to other people. Hey, how do you sign a lease? What forms are you using? How do you vet someone and get them approved to be your tenant? I mean, these are things that it seems overwhelming, but once you break it down and you put it into a process and a step-by-step, it's a lot less overwhelming. And that book by Brandon Turner was so helpful to us. I think I listened to it twice before we became landlords and started managing our own property with our first house hack. And it was so helpful that when we went into it, we had confidence. We said, okay, we know what we got to do. We got to follow the process. We got to sign the lease agreement. We even had rules and regulations that we had created using a template from Brandon and Heather Turner to create what are the rules for our property? What are the expectations? And it really made things go a lot easier. And then as far as evictions, number one, if you choose the right people, you're much less likely to have to go through an eviction or have someone who won't pay you rent on time or who would trash the unit. So number one is you have to choose the right people when you're selecting your tenants, especially if this is your house hack. You want to be very judicious because they're also going to be your neighbor. So that's number one. You got to choose the right people who you know will pay on time and take good care of the unit. And then for us, we've had an experience where somebody was late and you just follow the process. Hey, we give a 5-day grace period. And after 5 days, there's an automatic late fee that's applied. It's $75. You have to pay it in addition to your rent. And then if they don't pay, you can also give what's called the 3-day notice to pay rent or quit. And so by giving that notice, that's stipulated. There's a process that landlords in California can follow where if they don't pay, you can give that notice. And if they continue to not pay after 3 days, you can ask them to leave your unit. So there is a process that protects you. And as long as you learn how it works, it becomes way simpler, way less overwhelming. And then you can actually rent your place out and find people to help you house hack your property.
Yep. And the last limiting belief that we hear pretty frequently is that, well, my partner doesn't want to house hack, but I do. So what do I do in that situation? Because that's a problem, right? And it just comes down to a shared vision, getting on the same page, working through what those limiting beliefs are that your partner has, help him or her get educated about what it looks like to start house hacking and managing property, and then doing it together. Sometimes you start small, you have baby steps, right? Maybe the first thing you do is you buy a single family home and you build a detached ADU in the back. And that way you're just getting started. And then your next house hack ends up becoming the fourplex that is in an apartment complex, or maybe it's an even larger unit. But at the end of the day, it just comes down to being in alignment on the same page.
Right. So in our story, when we were first starting out, house hacking wasn't really something that, you know, you had grown up with or heard of.
No, so I'd never heard of it.
How did we come into alignment on that? Because that is kind of overwhelming for most people. And I wasn't even sure or certain you would want to do this. So how did we get to that point?
I know. Well, yeah, you were brave to even bring it up with me at first, because I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that. I don't really get it. But that's what it was. I didn't really understand. And after reading some books, I realized, okay, Owen and I have the same goal of reaching financial freedom. We already knew that. We already knew we wanted to reduce or eliminate our housing expense because it was so expensive for us. So we already had that shared goal together. And I am almost positive that those of you listening to this show also have a similar goal of paying less money out of pocket for your housing expenses. I'm sure you want to save as much money as possible. So that was what motivated me to read the books and learn more, do some research, read some articles, and just say, you know what? I could do anything for a year, right? I could do it. I just have to live in this place for 1 year and I can make it work. So that's what we did. And I think it just came down to talking through things, making sure we were on the same page, and knowing that no matter what happens, the good, the bad, the ugly, mm-hmm. we were going to be doing it together. And we also made sure that we stayed in our lanes, right? What was your strength? What was my strength when it came to managing the property? And we respected each other's gifts and talents and came up with a good plan to make it work.
That's right. And I remember what I remember was we had to paint that vision of what our future looked like.
And yes.
We knew, hey, we want to have a family. We want to be able to have time. We want to be present with our kids and go on field trips in the middle of the week with them, or go on the summer camp out trips. So how do we do that? We have to create a lifestyle that gives us flexibility, that gives us options. And so the house hacking method is a way to create streams of income for you that, regardless of whether or not you go into work that day, you're getting paid rent on the first. And it's a wonderful feeling, because whether the stock market goes up or down, you don't care, as long as you're getting paid rent on the first every month. And that rent helps you pay that mortgage. And so by us starting then, making that sacrifice, paying our dues, we've been able to cover our cost of living, our housing expense, through our rentals. And with that, just in the last year, we've been able to significantly reduce the amount of time we work from 50, 60 plus hours a week down to 20, 30, maybe 40 hours a week.
Exactly. So if you are really struggling with your partner on whether or not you should be doing a house hack, it just comes down to getting on the same page and being crystal clear about the vision. Maybe you create a vision board together, you talk about it, and you just stand hand in hand and you take that leap of faith and you make it happen.
Right. And so really, those are some of the five major limiting beliefs that we see when it comes to whether or not you can house hack. And at the end of the day, all limiting beliefs are simply that. They're just these beliefs, these things that we say, nope, I can't. I hit that ceiling of complexity and I just go back down. I can't break through it. You need to find a way to break through that ceiling. And the way you get there is through knowledge and through taking action.
So, exactly. And you will notice that your life will be so much better once you break through those limiting beliefs. You'll have the confidence to be able to go out, find that house hack, find your tenants, go through a lease agreement, build great relationships with your new neighbors. You will have the confidence and the ability to make your dreams happen. We talk a lot about having your life by design, not by default. And having a life by default means that you are in the rat race, right? You're just on someone else's schedule. But having a life by design is one that you chose. So yeah, like going on field trips in the middle of the week with your kids, or making sure you can go travel wherever you want to travel without being told you can't in the middle of the week. You want to create a life by design, and that means it takes hard work, planning, sacrifice, and it really means choosing profit over comfort on that sliding scale we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and really making those goals something that's tangible, something that's actionable, because it only takes that first step to get the ball rolling, and then once you've taken that step, it's just so much easier to take the next step. And so instead of saying house hacking isn't for me, I could never do it, start to reframe your brain. Start to reframe how you think about it. And something that we often do is just saying positive affirmations or statements about something. So instead of saying I can't or I could never, what if you started to saying I could, or I could find a way, I can afford it, I can buy a house as a young person in California. Start to positively talk to yourself and surround yourself with other people who are going to positively talk to you and encourage you in achieving your goals.
That's right. That's right. And we're always available if you want to reach out to us and learn more about what we've done, or if you have questions about some of the things we've talked about. We are on your team and we're excited to see you overcome those limiting beliefs.
Yes. As always, like and follow our podcast on whatever platform you listen on. You can subscribe on YouTube if you want to see the videos and see us interacting together. And please leave a review and share this content with somebody you think who could benefit from it. The more people that hear this, the more happy homeowners we can create here in California and throughout the rest of the world. So thank you so much, everyone. This is the Happy House Hacking Podcast, signing off.